Well, it's good to be back here again. I appreciate, again, the opportunity to preach. When I was first called to preach, I was like every young preacher. I wanted to preach and look for an opportunity, someone that would give me an opportunity to preach. I've always felt there was something special about preaching. I still do. There's still that awe, there's still that reverence, there's still that, that nervousness. And yet we know that God is going to do and work through the word that we preach. What a wonderful privilege it is to preach the gospel. What a wonderful privilege it is to pastor God's flock. For a text, let's turn to Titus chapter 1. And we'll look at verses 5 through 9 as we look at these qualifications for an elder. I think we'll see that behind all the reasoning of the qualifications, there is the idea of someone that's going to represent the Lord Jesus, the Lord's church. Should be a man who would have some credibility, some standing among the people and in the community. For this cause, 1 Titus 1, 5-9, for this cause I left in Crete, that thou should set in order the things which are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot nor unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he might be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayer. The pastor as an example to his flock. Let me say by way of introduction, let me make a few remarks. Who is the pastor? He is a sinner saved by the grace of God. He is a sinner called by Christ to preach the gospel and pastor his flock. He is a sinner with a sin nature. A sinner who has indwelling sins, begetting sins, sins that he has fought again and again. A sinner who has weaknesses, propensities, and inclinations to certain temptations and sins. A pastor is not a perfect person, nor a perfect example. For perfection, for true unspoiled beauty of character, we must look to Christ. But we are to be an example. I would wonder what would be wrong with a preacher who would not feel that he should be an example. I feel we have that duty, that right, that privilege. And that which we do in practice should be that which we would hope to see followed by the congregation. High standards, I believe in high standards, don't you? I believe we need to keep the standards high. The world's always trying to get us to lower them, but we don't want to lower the standards. And we don't want to live like Lot out somewhere where we shouldn't be, nor do we want to be, out on the fringe. We want to be close to the Savior. We want high standards. High standards aren't just for preachers and missionaries, they're for all of God's children. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I've heard people say some foolish things about their pastors, that they'd follow them here and they'd follow them there or follow them almost into hell or whatever. That's foolishness, isn't it? But we want to, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So we at the very beginning acknowledge and recognize our weaknesses and our infirmities. Far be it from me to say that I would perfectly represent a pastor. But I have a desire to represent my calling and my Savior. We will look now at the pastor as an example, and there's other men that are preaching different messages, and I've tried to kind of pull off something that I won't infringe too much on theirs. I've heard some things of mine preached already, and I enjoyed hearing them. Brother Settlemar said some things. I agreed with him. That's good. So I'm going to start with a little bit, maybe, that might hit with Brother Robinson's. Well, I'm sure there's plenty of room there for money that you can preach and preach and preach on money, right? But the pastor and finance, using the pastor as an example, the pastor and finances. What can we say about the pastor and finances? First of all, and I don't want to really spend any time convincing you that these things are right. What I'm going to tell you, I believe that they are. They're scriptural. They're in the Bible. He should tithe. You say, you mean there would be preachers that wouldn't tithe? I've heard of them, folks. I've heard of them. What a shameful thing. And I would suppose that at times they would preach on tithing. That's coming close to hypocrisy, isn't it? He should tithe, and we know that's before the law, during the law, after the law. Amen. He should then, besides his tithing, he should give. We give because we love the Lord. We give because the Lord's been good to us. We give because we've been blessed. We give because God Himself gives. And a pastor must not fail here. How can he preach of tithing and giving and managing of money if he doesn't do it himself? And do it consistently. Consistently. Some people, they argue about tithing. They say, well, they want to tithe as God has prospered them. Well, start with a tithe and you can go on above it. You can go 20, 30, 40. You can just give all you want. But I think it's a good starting place. But you can always give more. And you will want to give more for missions or something that your church might need or something that God might lay on your heart. To a pastor, I would say, to a church member, I would say, don't be frugal. Our God isn't frugal. Let's manage our affairs and do it with prudence. But let's not be frugal giving to the Lord and in the Lord's work. God loves a cheerful giver. God gives in abundance. God gives to overflowing. And then tithe to give and to save of his income. How to save? This is an absolute mystery to many people. But I'm going to give you a simple formula, but you know, you can take it or leave it. Let me say first of all, live within your means. That means if I know how much money I've got coming in, I know how much money can go out. Okay? That's at the very most. So, you say, alright, how are you going to teach me how to save? What do you make? Take your gross, not your net. I've heard of people want to tithe off their net after all their deductions and come out. I don't think God would approve of that. Take 10% off for the Lord. Take 10% for savings and live on the rest and don't use your credit cards. And beware of luxury items when you go into debt, especially if you are buying something that depreciates and you're paying interest on it, you're getting whammed two ways. In times of emergency, and emergencies will come, you can count on it. You can take that to the bank. And they will come, you'll be prepared. And you won't have to have someone bail you out. A preacher must honor all legal debts. You say, why are you telling all this? Well, I think there's problems in these areas. I think we need to affirm these things. In Romans 13:8, it tells us to owe no man except the debt of love that we have because we're children of God. Don't go overboard in spending and get yourself in a jam. And it's easy to do. It's this debt thing that usually does it. It's only $25 a month. It's only $5 a week. And you do two or three or four of those things, and pretty soon you're getting yourself in a jam. Don't do that. Don't get behind in your payments. And don't be constantly going to the church for a bailout. I've seen preachers do that. They get themselves in a jam. They go in and say, here's my plus side and here's my minus side. My minus side is eating my plus side up. And so they'd try to come up with a difference. I don't really approve of that. Amen. Don't borrow from individual members. That's happened a lot of times, and sometimes the members haven't been repaid, and that doesn't leave a very good taste in their mouth. I wouldn't advise that. Learn how to manage money, and I'm sure Brother Dean will tell us much more. Learn how to manage money. It's important. It's important to you as a Christian. It's important to you as a pastor. And most of what I've said also carries over to the church. Don't be quick to put a church into debt, thinking you're going to grow or this is going to happen or something else is going to happen. I would say be very cautious. I would go slow. I would ask myself, do we really need this whatever that we're contemplating? Can we afford it? I believe often that's how God would restrain us. Sometimes if we can't afford something, maybe God's telling us you need to wait a while. A church laden down with needless debt is a depressing load for the membership as well as the pastor. I can speak from experience on that. I was in a terrible situation, and it was it's something that will cause a preacher to stay awake at night. I'll tell you it is. And don't become, this is my last one, then we'll move on. And don't become a beggar. A beggar. I hate church beggars. I hate preacher beggars. I just can't see it. I just cannot see it. We represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He can give us everything. Why would we have to go around and beg? What a sorry thing to do. I've always wondered, I've heard of people using, but what is a preacher's discount? All of my years of preaching, I've never been offered a discount, and I've never taken a discount. I don't know how you get a discount. Maybe, do you ask for them? I don't know. Don't always be giving gentle hints about your lack of money. You know, real subtle hints. Remember, God is taking care of you. And He can do it. If God withholds from you something, maybe it's for your own good. To borrow, beg, is try and circumvent the Lord's will for you. Don't go out and borrow money to do something God said you shouldn't be doing. God may allow you to get yourself in a mess. All right, let's move on to the second thought. And here I want to present several things. It's under this heading. A pastor, secondly, should and must manifest the true, pure, unadulterated love of God. A pastor must be a loving person. Let me ask you this. What was the main difference between Pharisees and a true man of God? They had absolutely no love. They could tithe. They could go to church. They could study their Bible. They could do all those things. But their hearts were absolutely devoid of any kind of love. They were hard. They were hard as nails. I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah. There's a verse I wanted to read. Jeremiah. In chapter 3. Verse 15, and he said, "And I, God, I will give you pastors according to mine heart." I believe that God has a loving heart, don't you? We don't major on one attribute of God, but we know our God is a God of love. "According to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." The pastor must, first of all, maintain his own private devotional life. If you don't do that, there's no need to get up and speak, because it's not going to amount to much. Amen. If you haven't spent the time alone with the Lord, seeking Him, seeking His wisdom, talking to Him, then I don't think our sermons will amount to a great deal. It must be maintained. And that will be extremely difficult at times, sometimes, a lot of the times. Many things will conspire against us. Telephones will ring. Friends will drop in. Things will be scheduled by a church member. All kinds of things can happen. But we must be alone with our God. We must find time for prayer and God's Word. And this is outside of trying to find a sermon text. We've got to do that on our own time, don't we? And we must love our flock, our members. We must love them. Some of them are sweet. Some of them are nice. Some of them are kind. Some of them aren't. But we have to love them too. We really do. And it's important that we do. You know, the Lord three times made Peter affirm his love after he denied his Lord and told him to feed his sheep, to feed his lambs. We need to know them. We need to know them well. We need to love them. We must give ourselves to knowing them. It's not going to just come to us. We need to learn how to help them. Knowing how to feed them, how to minister to them, and we must recognize their uniqueness and their differences. They're all different, aren't they? We're not all just alike. And some sheep, now I'm not talking about necessarily babying them and coddling them, but some sheep will need much more care than others. That's a fact. That's just the way it is. But having said that, beware of neglecting any of your congregation. And all sheep have wool. All sheep are profitable. They're there. God has placed them there. We're to love the others outside of our church. We need to get to know them. We want to be friendly to them. We want to be warm and open to them and with them. We want to treat them with respect. We want to pray that God will open their hearts and their minds that they might hear the glorious gospel and be drawn to Christ as their Savior. And a good pastor must work hard to truly follow the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a hard thing, folks. That sounds really, it is pretty. And it's true. But it takes some effort. But we must do it. God commands us to do what the world and the flesh can never do. The things that God, the Lord Jesus has told us to do, the world can't do. They won't do it. But we must. We must do or serve others expecting nothing in return. It's easy to do something for someone that's going to do something for us, but the Lord says when you do that, you haven't done anything. So we have to do, but not expecting anything in return. And for young preachers, older preachers know this, we must not always be looking for praise at all we do. You're not going to get too much, don't marry. Some of them say, you know, you'll get the big head. Well, most of the time, I don't think you have to worry about it. And don't let it bother you too much, okay? Let the Lord be our reward. And a pastor must not forget to overlook his own family's needs. God never made you so busy that you must let your wife and children's needs go unfulfilled. This is a lack of diligence and good time management on the part of the pastor. We need to love our wives and our children, and the way we treat our wives and our children, that ought to shine forth as we simply go about our daily lives. And they can see the pastor as someone who loves his wife, who loves his children, who disciplines them. They can see a successful family life. A successful family life. A pastor must be able to graciously and without bitterness or discontent, which this is all in the background of the love that a pastor has for his flock, take criticism from those who would dare to disagree with him or to point out a fault of his. That may happen. That could happen. That will happen. Maybe God is using them to humble us. Or to show us something about ourselves that we're unable or just don't want to see. I often say when somebody gets mad and tells you something, they've probably been wanting to tell you and maybe you need it. So after you calm down, go ahead and see if you can learn something from it. And we may not always have the perfect plan or idea for something. We might not. Let us be big enough to see beyond our own ideas and our own desires. A pastor must be able to take the heat of criticism without getting agitated or trying to defend themselves. Let's not get too upset over these things. This criticism, it'll come just as naturally as the rain falls, but we don't want to blow it out of proportion. Don't blow it out of proportion. Don't read into it that which was never there in the first place. The one who said whatever he said, he may have even embarrassed himself. Let him have time to apologize, and he may. However, don't be surprised if he goes right on as though nothing ever happened. And that's all right. That's okay. If your plan is rejected, look at theirs. If it's good, use it. If not, put the issue on a back burner and wait a while. God has plenty of time. God's got plenty of time. God's not in a time. He's not confined there like we are, or we think we are. And then I want to use a little time here to talk about some general things that concern a pastor. These are just things that I'm going to give you that are of value to me. I don't know. I want to share them with you. First of all, be on time. Don't have people waiting around, where is the preacher? Where is the preacher? And usually people that are late are always late, you know. Be on time. Don't make people wait for you. Secondly, have a manner of dress that suits your position. I know we laugh about our uniforms, you know. But do you remember when doctors looked like doctors and nurses looked like nurses? And now the doctors look like orderlies and the nurses look like scrub women or something, you know. We don't know who they are. I say, who is that you're talking to? That's my doctor. Well, they don't look like a doctor. Let's dress to suit our position. Beware of setting a tone of casualness. That's the order of our day, is casual. I don't think too much casualness is good in the Lord's house. If you'll go around when others are having services, you know, at different times, go look at other churches who are casual and see if you want to go as far as they're going. I don't think you will. I don't think so. In fact, if you look too close, you may embarrass yourself. You represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus. Dress in a manner that suits your position. You don't have to wear expensive clothes, but you can look nice and you can show that you are a preacher for the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's something else. Have a high standard concerning personal entertainment. Don't be always talking about what you saw on TV or a movie that you watched. I don't know what you find much to watch on TV. If it wasn't for football and a little bit of bigoted news, I wouldn't have anything to watch. And I love football. But I don't talk football in church. When I come in the church doors, I'll talk about whatever the members want to talk to. I've got two boys that I try to spend some time with. They'd lost their dad. I may talk a little football with them, and that's about it. Be honest in all things. You're honest in some things, but are you honest in everything? Let's be honest. Let's be honest with people. What we tell them we're going to do, let's do. Let's just be honest. Let's don't try to mislead people. You know, you can lie without lying. You just start people down a course and push them a little bit, and then they'll get to the direction, you know. And you say, well, I didn't really lie. Well, you really did. Let's don't do that. Let's be honest. I think that's only right for a pastor, that he should be honest. Be a fair judge. There will be times when you'll have to do some judging. Be fair and impartial in your judging. Read about what God says about judging in the Bible. God says quite a bit about it and how we're to judge. Here's something else that shouldn't even be at all, but I've met some. Don't be a gossip. Anyone to gossip, that's a bad thing. But for a preacher to gossip, that's not good at all. That's not right. But I'm sad to say, I've met some. And that's a shameful thing. That's a shameful thing. Be approachable to everyone. You say, I am. Here I am. And you tell them, you folks want anything from me? Here I am. I'm ready to help you. I'm your pastor. I love you. But some folks don't feel as comfortable around a pastor as other people do. Some do. Some will just, you know, they'll be your lifelong buddy right off. But there's some that are hesitant to come to you. And so we need to be aware that some people, it's hard for them maybe to approach us, and they but maybe they have something they'd like to talk to us about. So we may have to work on this a little. We may think we're approachable, but maybe we can look and see if we really are. And we need to be available. I heard, I think Brother Orville, Brother Heath, talking about being available, changing your time schedule. The little girl wanted to go on her vacation, didn't get to go. Probably seen that happen several times. Something planned, you can't do it. You must be available. And there'll be weddings, funerals, hospital visits, and all kinds of other things. And you just need to be there. You just need to be there. They're counting on you to be there. They want you to be there. And there's been times when it's on the other side. I remember when my dad passed away, and as I walked out after I'd said goodbye to him in the church, and I was walking out the door there stood all the members of my church standing there. I just wept. It meant everything to me. So I know that when we go and we do these things, I know that it's appreciated. And any time there's a work day at the church, must see you right there with all the rest, cheerfully taking part. This is important. This is important. You need to do that. And now, concerning weddings and funerals, and I believe Brother Cozart kind of expressed my idea on wedding. I'm not too fond of marrying people. And my stay-together ratio is not real good. It's really not. If there's a secret to keeping people married, I would like to know. You come and tell me and I'll try it. At the beginning of my ministry, I wanted to keep all my ministerial duties within the confines of my church. And so I said, all the people that I marry or conduct funerals for are going to be members of my church. I've been very selective about it. And then for some, I've married some relatives. I didn't have much better success with them. And that's about all. And I've done this as a ministry, so I never accepted money or pay. Same way with funerals. I hold funerals for all my church family and their family members. And then certain others depending upon the circumstances. And here again, it's part of my ministry, and I feel like that I'm being paid to do that through my church, and I don't need anything else. In conclusion, who is the pastor? He's one called of God. He's one who's been given a love for his flock by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's one who will guard his flock and warn of impending dangers as he sees them coming. And folks, the preacher can see when danger's on the horizon. He can see when a sheep begins to slip away. Can see one who will feed the flock from the weakest to the strongest. All must be fed of the Word of God. One who will stand by your side even when death comes calling. He'll be right there with you. He might not know the words, exact words to say, but he'll be there with you. He'll be praying for you, and you'll know that he loves you and he'll be there. That's something we can do. That's a pastor. One who will, with joy and happiness, unite your children in marriage. He will rejoice with you when your children or grandchildren are born. He's one who will go down the straight and narrow path with you, the one the Savior has placed us, put us on. A pastor is one who endeavors with all his heart to be the best possible pastor that he can be by God's grace and power. Because who is sufficient for these things? He's one who loves you enough to preach a sermon of reproof and admonition. He's one who is a real man. He's a man of God. A man of God. He's honest. He's kind. He's loving. He's sincere. He's dependable. He loves you very much. He has no axe to grind. He has no hidden agenda. He's simply doing what the Master has called him to do. That's a pastor. And that's the example that he should set. God bless you. Thank you very much. Amen.